Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're entering another week of Fire on the Earth. And this week, I want to talk about, in a broad sense, I want to talk about Jesus' call or command to us, those who are following him, to learn to abide in him. What does it mean to abide? And it's important for us to understand it because Jesus connects abiding in him to being able to bear good fruit. And of course, that's important just because that's how the kingdom spreads. The fruit of the Spirit at work in us and the work of God in us as we abide in our relationship with Jesus brings about the extension of like holiness in our lives and the extension of God's grace and the kingdom in each one of our lives and engaging the mission that God has given us and our vocations and beyond. The key to it all, the key to fruit bearing, which we're going to hear from Jesus this week about how critically important it is that we bear fruit. And bearing fruit is the sign that we're actually living in him the way he's called us to. And of course, at the end of our lives, one of the reasons it's really important is there's going to be what's in every one of our futures is the day of judgment. And those who live in Christ, those who die in Christ, don't have to be afraid of the day of judgment. We can actually, with joy, we can welcome it. But what that's about ultimately is when we meet the Lord, he's going to ask us what kind of fruit we've borne, or he's going to show the nature of the tree that we've become, you might say, a fruit tree, and that the fruit that will actually happen in each one of our lives if we are walking with him in the way we're going to talk about this week. So that's going to be our theme. We're going to keep going back to it. But where I'd like to start is in 1 John chapter 4, kind of right at the beginning of the awareness and the articulation of the apostles of their engagement and their walking in what Jesus promised he would produce in them if they said yes to him and they would abide in him, that they'd bring him into new life. And every single person in the world, every human being that's born is in need of this life. So I'm going to talk today about the life, because without the life, there's no bearing fruit in the kingdom of God. Beginning with John 4:14 today. In 15, it says, "And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God." So back to just 14. We have seen and we testify. So John is bearing witness to what he knows to be true. We'll see that earlier in chapter 1. We may touch on that if we have some time today, of the declaration of what the apostles believe and what they know, what they saw, what they touched, and what they're communicating to one another. And he said, we've seen and we testify, and we know this for sure, the Father, God the Father. And how did they know God as Father? Because Jesus revealed to them God as Father. And they were Jewish believers. They were Jews, and they knew who God was and Yahweh. But Jesus revealed his sonship. And in seeing Jesus, he told the apostles, you see the Father. And Jesus unveiled, he communicated. He demonstrated, he became one of us so he could reveal the relationship between the Father and the Son, that relationship of love from all eternity, from which everything that is has been created comes from, that creative love of the Father and the Son, and the role of the Holy Spirit as well, as we'll see. So the Father has sent his Son for a purpose to the world. Why? This is obviously very simple, but we can't miss this. It's worth repeating again and again. He came as Savior. Fundamentally, the word, the name Jesus means Savior, to save a fallen world, that is people that inhabit the world, to save us from the sin problem, which produces the death problem, which produces eternal separation from God. And so the human race, apart from God and God's action and the bringing of God's life, because what did sin do? Sin killed the life that was in Adam and Eve, the relationship they had with God and the particular intimacy and union. It really set them outside the garden, and they lost that communion with God that they had. And so each one of us is born under sin. The church describes it as original sin that we're born into. It's alienation. It's a death-directed destiny. It's separation from God. That's really fundamentally what it is. And so Jesus came to save us from that condition. And so anyone, John says, the way to access and to come to know Jesus as Savior is to come into the life of the church and to be able to hear the gospel, that is the good news about Jesus and how Jesus saved us and how he dealt with the sin problem and the death problem and made it possible for us to become children of God. And then we acknowledge him. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Paul says you will be saved. And John is saying here, if anyone acknowledges Jesus as the Son of God, as a confession of faith, and part of that obviously is repentance and entering the waters of baptism and then entering the life of the church. But he says, then God lives in them and they live in God. This we'll see at the end of the week and throughout the week is the essence of what we're talking about when we talk about abiding, that Jesus said, abide, pay attention, receive, believe, embrace, walk in this fact, this reality that Jesus has brought about by his incarnation, passion, death, and resurrection and ascension into heaven. He's united the life of God to human flesh in his own person. And then by becoming one of us, he makes it possible for us to come into his share in his life with the Father. And God dwells in us and we dwell in God. It's absolutely astounding reality. Before we move on, I just want to touch on Ephesians chapter 2, you see, because Paul has a very articulate teaching on what I just described about John that's worth touching on and why we need this life. Because Christianity, as I've talked about so many times and will continue until I no longer do programs, is that Christianity means life. It doesn't mean natural life. I mean, it affects natural life, but what it means is the Christ life, the life of God given to human beings who are desperately in need of a life that can lead us, can pass from death to eternal life, rather than eternal separation from God. So chapter 2 of Ephesians, and you he made alive. This is, you could put yourself in this situation, I can too, because our baptism is what did what Paul is about to describe. And you he made alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. In our case, if you were infants, it was original sin that was passed on to us. But here's Paul saying in one line, you he made alive. Okay, why did this have to happen? Because you were dead. And you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Walked, the term in the Bible, in the New Testament, one of the elements of it is it's describing a way of life. Like when we become disciples, we come after. Jesus said, come after me, follow me. And that's the image of a rabbi. And you see behind rabbi in Jesus' time and even in the present time, you can see with Hasidic Jews and others, a rabbi walking and his disciples, his learners, those who are following his way of life are walking behind him. But the fall in human nature, we literally were walking, as Paul says here, in darkness. And what we were doing was, he goes on to say, the sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. That's the fallen dimension of the world that we inhabit, that resists God, the will of God, and the plan of God, and why Jesus had to come. And it's part of the realm of the dominion of the kingdom of darkness, this fallen world, and it's still present with us. It's present in the world. All those powers and drives and human energy that's directed toward ignoring God, rejecting God, elevating our idols, living for our idols, becoming the little gods and defining our own identity and our own reality and thinking we're the masters of life and death and calling abortion a good and now legalizing assisted suicide around the country, 16 states now, just keeps multiplying. So this is the fallen world that refuses to acknowledge God, the things of God. And so their light, the light that allows human beings to see the real condition, they're living in darkness. Their minds are darkened. Their senseless minds are darkened. And so it's still the same. It's not just some old biblical way of looking at it. This is the thing on the earth, the fallen world, what human beings are born into. So you're following the course of this world and following the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan and all the demons that are at his service. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, the demonic spirits that are at work manipulating powers in the earth to build kingdoms and systems of life that are built apart from and unwilling to acknowledge God and the things of God. Verse 3, among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind. And so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. That's the biblical worldview. It was and is, and it will be until the Lord comes again. That's a fact. We once lived in the flesh. So Paul was talking about the world. He's now talking about the flesh. And he spoke about the prince of the power of the air. He talked about the devil, the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is the regime of power that is part of the dominion of darkness that resists God and the will of God and anybody who wants to follow God. But notice what he's saying. You were by nature children of wrath. So no one's born innocent. No one's born tabula rasa. No one's born in a perfect, pure state. Doesn't exist no matter what some people may try to claim. We're actually born into sin. And what ends up happening is we're destined, we are ordered, our orientation, the flesh that's at work in us, the fallen dimension of our lives is literally a nature. It's a fallen nature. And those who share in it, Paul is saying, are children of wrath. That means to live in that state from the time you're born until the day you die, if you live and die in that state, you're God's enemy. That's a fact. Like the rest of mankind. So this is an anthropology. This is a Christian understanding of the human person. And this is why a lot of people go wrong. A lot of politicians are going wrong and driving things and putting things into law, which deeply offend God and the rest of it, because their senseless minds are darkened. So verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and made us sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's the bad news that's followed by the absolute glorious good news. This is the news everybody needs to hear, whether they want to hear it or not. This is the news that will, the only news that will settle the heart, will bring peace, will bring joy, will bring a sense of knowledge of victory over the dominion of death and the fear of death and the fear of aging and all the stuff that we fight against and sickness and things that lead us into despair and discouragement. This truth, but God has an answer to this condition of wrath of the human race. But God, who is rich in mercy, he came to deal with the sin problem in Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, out of the great love with which he loved us. God is love. And it's love that came to conquer these powers and to make it possible for us. So the Apostle John and others are so confident in what they know they've seen in the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. The first chapter of 1 John, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we saw it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you that the eternal life that was with the Father was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we now proclaim to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're writing this that our joy may be complete. Because their joy is come into the joy of the Master, of the Lord, of our relationship now with the Father. We who were alienated from God are now children of God. We're sharing in the gift of Jesus' life with the Father from all eternity. This is the center of love, of life, of glory, of joy, of power. This is what we've been brought into, and John wants to teach us how to abide in that. God bless you. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.